crying over you.
Not quite. I can't eat no more.
Crying over you.
Thank you. Welcome to worship on Wednesdays. Special thanks to Tommy and the crew for that wonderful fish dinner that we had. Okay, at this time we're going to do a prayer request and praise report. If I can find my pencil. Okay. What hospital is she in? Centennial. We need to also lift Himena up. You want to give Debbie or Ted? You want to give a Debbie? Where is she?
I'm right
here. There she is. Okay. Is that the one that we put on the prayer list last week?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. The what?
Dodd.
Dylan? What? New drivers, yes. Clay. Oh, we haven't had a birthday yesterday. We need to remember to sing happy birthday, too. Clay was 16 yesterday. New driver. New driver driving my daughter around. That's the biggest prayer. So, okay. Anybody else? Matthew? Okay. Anybody else? Emily? Okay. Anyone else? Y'all, I want Cameron. Mr. Headless, then, okay. Anybody back here? Okay. Also, keep the welcome. We're glad you're here, but you sit down and put your feet up. Keep the youth worker position in your prayer. I know that God has a plan and that He's going to put somebody here when He decides it's time. And who He wants, and I believe that with all my heart. But I think we're doing fine. Are we not doing fine with me right now? We're doing okay. But that it's not that there's a problem. It's just I know that it's frustrating for those who are on the committee trying to find somebody to take Susan's position. And frankly, there's just not really many youth workers out there anymore. They just don't get into youth ministry, and that's a prayer within itself, because I think that's such a vital, important ministry of any church. So just keep that whole position in your prayers, and if I'm supposed to do it on a volunteer basis forever and ever, amen, then pray that he will bestow that on me and let me know it and let me accept it and just go with it, okay? Okay, Michael. Well, that would be a miracle within itself. Okay, anybody else? Okay. I'd like for everybody to face forward. Face forward. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Stop your speech. Focus on why we're here tonight. We're here to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that we could all be saved and reconciled back to His Father God. Tonight I pray that we worship with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, with everything in us. Let our only focus tonight be worshiping Christ. I'd like to lift up the names on the prayer list. Kathleen Wagner, Himena, Deb Hatfield, Boss's mom. We praise that her biopsies were negative. We pray for the Dodd family and the loss of their mother, sister, and friend, wife. We pray for Emily Rosenberry's neighbors. We continue to pray for the Headley family, for Ravenwood's cross-country team as they travel to Alabama. We pray for the world that we live in, the leaders in positions at all levels, from the community leader to the leader of the countries of this nation and the nations around the world. We know, Lord, that You are in control and all things will be taken care of by You. We just lift the names on the prayer list up to You, Lord, and we know that You know their needs better than we, and we pray that Your will be done in their lives. We place the world into Your hands, God, and we know that You are in control. Be with us tonight as we worship. Let Your Holy Spirit move in each and every one of us through this room. If it's Your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing.
Thank you. And you guys ever think about how God is a God of wonders? I know I'm looking right at you two guys, but I thought I'd start with you. You guys ever thought about that? God of wonders? Think about something or someone who does amazing stuff. Might be you guys. Maybe you are good at football or something. But somebody we're impressed with, an entertainer or a musician. I'm pretty impressed with John's guitar playing. But it could be anything. And to think that if we combined all that together, it wouldn't even register compared to what, you know, that God is a God of wonders. For starters, he simply spoke, and it was. You know, in order for me to play this, I have to practice. You know, I have to pick it up and practice. But when God said, I want an earth, he just said, I'd like an earth, please, and we have an earth. I'd like some people. We have people. And the Bible's real clear. He just spoke it. So that's what we're dealing with here, in case you're not as familiar with the Bible or God. He's a God of wonders beyond what we can even sing about, but we're going to try anyway. Oh,
Adonai, a Hebrew name for God, usually translated in the Old Testament by the word Lord. Adonai means steward, administrator, master, or Lord. The addition of I to Adonai changes it to mean the ultimate Lord, the supreme Lord, or Lord of all. The meaning of Adonai in the Hebrew language, God is Lord, clearly defines our role as servants of our Lord the God. Lordship means complete possession on the one hand and complete submission on the other. God is never a capricious or unjust master, and therefore does not ask what cannot be performed, and never acquires a task for which he does not equip his servants. In other words, everything God asks us to do is good and just and can be accomplished as we trust Him to enable us to do all that He has asked us to do. When I say, praise Adonai, I mean that I will submit to my Lord and Master and do the things He has asked me to do while on this earth, trusting Him to give me the power and ability to accomplish those things.
The light of the world.
It's hard to say something that this song don't already say. I will say this. I dare any of you in the room to not listen to the words of this song. Not everybody sings. Some people just look. But if you can look at these words and not, I don't say feel something, but if you can sing these words and read these words and look at these words and walk away as if nothing ever happened, then I pray for you. Anybody ever had a friend risk their life? Maybe even give their life. I don't know if that's happened. Anybody ever risk their life for someone else? You don't have to raise your hand. But the difference is Jesus didn't just risk his life. Nobody was able to kill God. Somebody says the Jews are guilty or whatever. We're all guilty. But nobody was capable of killing Jesus. Okay? He gave his life. But he didn't stay dead. But this song is, it's more about that moment where he was suffocating. And I don't know if you knew that, that's what killed him on the cross, was suffocating. He couldn't breathe. And, but anyway, just, you know, even if you don't sing, read the words and see if it doesn't speak to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Jimena was going to do the lesson tonight, but then she had a little problem that she had to take care of. So I'm going to take her place tonight. And this is something I had was going to speak on November 15th. And I had part of it started, but I rushed and finished it this afternoon. But it's something that's really been on my heart to say. Maybe, I guess I think about it, I think of everything in youth terms, so I think about it more for the youth, but, you know, it just as well goes to adult Christians. Thank you. Okay. I don't think that Satan wants me to say what I'm going to say tonight, okay? But I'm going to say it anyway. So, first off, let's bow our heads. Lord, I pray that this message that you've put on my heart would be your words speaking through me, that you would bring to my words what it is that you want us to learn and what you want us to go out and tell the world. It's your name we pray, amen. Okay. Who in this room believes in heaven? Who in this room believes in hell? Okay. Do you believe that these are physical places? Actual, there's actually a physical heaven and there's actually a physical hell? Or do you believe they're just a state of mind? Today's Christianity, we talk much about heaven and all the glory, as we should. However, we seem to have neglected to dwell much on hell. I believe that the salvation of all of us rests in the understanding of both places and how we can be in eternity with God or spend a life of eternity separated from Him in hell. We have watered down the message of salvation into a feel-good faith. We concentrate on all the powerful, or we concentrate on the all-powerful, all-merciful God, which we should, but we seldom look at the wrathful side of God. From the beginning of time, when sin entered into God's perfect world, there have been consequences for our lack of obedience. Eve was cursed to pain and suffering in childbirth. Adam was sentenced to toiling the ground for his food, the same food that was readily available before he disobeyed God. Hell is mentioned all through the Bible. Other words used for hell are the pit, the lake of fire and brimstone, Sheol, Hades, destruction, desolation, eternal darkness, depths of earth, heart of earth, chambers of death. Some believe that hell is a state of mind, not a physical place. Some Christians believe that a loving God would not send any of His children to hell. Well, almost every chapter of the Bible speaks of consequences. Destruction, sending people to the gates of hell, casting people into the lake of fire. Consequences to those who do not follow the laws of God. It seems very clear to me that hell is a physical place, just as heaven is a physical place. Hell is a place of eternal fire, eternal separation from God, eternal torment, eternal darkness. In stark contrast to heaven, which is all good, all love, all God, all worship, all the time. I just read a book this last week, and I seen this man, I was flipping through the channels, and I saw this man, and something told me to stop and listen to what he was saying. And he wrote a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. His name is Bill Weiss. And so I went out and got the book, thought, yeah, I'm going to check this out. The book describes the author's vision of hell, which he says was shown to him by God. Now, he was a Christian at the time of this revelation, but was not in any kind of ministry. Since this vision, he has dedicated his life to spreading the word to the world. He states in the book that God instructed him to tell the world, "I am coming very, very soon." He states that even if you don't believe his story, he hopes that you will believe the scriptures and avoid hell just the same. I want to read to you a description of his experience. Okay. He starts off with in the introduction that it was a normal night. He and his wife had been to dinner with some friends. They came home. They went to bed. And on November 22nd, 1998, he was, what he said was, catapulted out of his bed. And this is what he experiences. It says, "That was the night I was catapulted out of my bed into the very pit of hell. My point of arrival was a cell that was approximately 15 feet high by 10 feet wide with a 15-foot depth." I hate to read this to you guys, but it's such a good description. I have to read it. There's no way I could paraphrase what he's saying. "With its walls of rough stone and rigid bars on the door, I felt as though I was in a temporary holding area, a place where a prisoner would await his final hours before meeting a far more terrifying destiny. Isaiah 24:22 says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison." Proverbs 7:27 refers to chambers of death in hell. "As I lay there on the floor of that cell, I felt extremely weak. I noticed that I had a body, one that appeared just as it is now. Lifting my head, I began to look around. Immediately, I realized that I was not alone in this cell. I saw two enormous beasts, unlike anything I had ever seen before. These creatures were approximately 10 to 13 feet tall. These towering beasts were far, far beyond intimidating. It is one thing to be threatened by someone much taller than you, but these creatures were not of this natural world. I recognized that they were entirely evil, and they were gazing at me with pure, unrestrained hatred, which completely paralyzed me with fear. Evil and terror stood before me. Those creatures were an intensely concentrated manifestation of these two forces. I still had no idea where I was, and I felt utterly panicked. Although I had no point of reference, no familiarity with anything I was experiencing, and no understanding of how I got here, still I was faced with the unimaginable reality that a torturous death seemed certain. The creatures weren't animals, but they weren't human. Each giant beast resembled a reptile in appearance, but took on a human form. Their arms and legs were unequal in length, out of proportion, without symmetry. The first one had bumps and scales all over his grotesque body. It had a huge, protruding jaw, gigantic teeth, and large, sunken-in eyes. This creature was stout and powerful, with thick legs and abnormally large feet. It was pacing violently around the cell like a caged bull, and its demeanor was extremely ferocious. The second beast was taller and thinner, with very long arms and razor-sharp fins that covered his body. Protruding from its hands were claws that were nearly a foot long. Its personality seemed different from the first being. It was certainly no less evil, but it remained rather still. I could hear the creatures speaking to each other. Although I could not identify what language it was, somehow I could understand their words. They were awful words. Terrible, blasphemous language that spewed from their mouths expressing extreme hatred for God. Suddenly, they turned their attention toward me. They looked like hungry predators staring at their prey. I was terrified. Like an insect in a deadly spider's web, I felt helpless, trapped, and frozen with fear. I knew I had become the object of their hostility, and I felt a violent, evil presence such as I had never felt before and greater than anything I could imagine. They possessed a hatred that far surpassed any hatred a person could have, and now that hatred was directed straight at me. I couldn't identify what these beasts were yet, but I knew they meant me harm. I wanted desperately to get up and run, but as I lay on that wretched cell floor, I noticed that I had absolutely no strength in my body. I could barely move. Why didn't I have strength? I felt so defenseless. I knew that it was much more than physical weakness I was feeling. Indeed, it was weakness of every form. I was mentally and emotionally drained, even though I had only been there a few minutes. two more creatures came into the cell, and I had the feeling that these four beings had been assigned to me. I felt as though I was being sized up and that my torment would be their amusement. As they entered, suddenly the light vanished. It became absolutely pitch black. I had no idea why the sudden intense darkness had become, but I sensed that the light that had been present had been an intrusion and that the atmosphere had now returned to its normal state of darkness. The light at that time, he says later in the book, he knows was God with him, and he left him, you know, for a moment so he could experience the hell. One of the creatures picked me up. The strength of the beast was amazing. I was comparable to the weight of a water glass in his hands. Instinctively, I knew that the creature holding me had strength approximately 1,000 times greater than a man. The beast threw me against the wall. I crumbled onto the floor. It felt as though every bone in my body had been broken. I felt pain, but it was as if the pain was being somehow softened. I knew I did not experience the full brunt of the pain. I thought, how was it blocked? The second beast, with its razor-like claws and sharp protruding fins, did grab me from behind in a bear hug. As it pressed me into its chest, its sharp fins pierced my back. I felt like a rag doll in its clutches in comparison to its enormous size. He then reached around and plunged his claws into my chest and ripped them outward. My flesh hung from my body like ribbons as I fell again to the cell floor. These creatures had no respect for the human body. How remarkably it is made. I knew that I could not escape this torture via death, but not even that was enough. I knew that I could not escape this torture via death, for not even that was an option. Death penetrated me, but eluded me. The creatures seemed to derive pleasure in the pain and terror they inflicted upon me. Oh, how I yearned for death, but there would be none. I pleaded for mercy, but they had none. Absolutely no mercy. They seemed to be incapable of it. They were pure evil. No mercy existed in that place. Mercy is from God in heaven. He goes on to talk about the mental anguish that was so indescribable that no fluid was coming from his wounds, no blood, no water. He talks about he was extremely nauseous from a terrible foul stench coming from these creatures. It was absolutely disgusting, foul, and rotten. It was by far the most putrid smell I have ever encountered. If you could take every rotten thing you can imagine, such as an open sewer, rotten meat, spoiled eggs, sour milk, dead rotting animal flesh, and sulfur, and magnify 1,000 times, you might come close. This is not an exaggeration. The odor was actually extremely toxic, and that alone should have killed me. Okay, he says instinctively that he knew some of the things he experienced were 1,000 times worse than anything he could have experienced on the earth's surface. Somehow he managed to move a bit, and he dragged himself across the floor toward the barred door. He couldn't see, but he remembered the direction of the door and left it open. Okay, so he leaves his cell, and as he goes out of his cell, he says, I was horrified as I heard the screams of an untold multitude of people crying out in torment. It was absolutely deafening. The terror-filled screams seemed to go right through me, penetrating my very being. The prisoners were crying, moaning, and yelling. This place was far, far worse than anything I ever imagined. Through the panic and the deafening noise, I struggled to gather my thoughts. I'm in hell. This is a real place, and I'm actually here. I frantically tried to understand, but it was just so inconceivable. Not me. I'm a good person. The fear was so intense, I couldn't bear it. But again, I couldn't die. He goes in to talk about how he found himself next to an enormous pit with raging flames of fire leaping high into an open cavern. As he looks into the dark, eerie, tomb-like atmosphere, it seemed to be like a mouse that had swallowed her dead. The flames of her ravenous appetite were never satisfied with the pitiful screams of untold multitudes. The heat was far beyond unbearable. I desperately wanted to escape before I, too, would be thrown into that inferno. and he talks about, you know, that reminding them of September 11th when people were jumping out of the buildings to get away from the heat. Now he could understand why they would jump, okay? Because even though they knew the fall was going to kill them, it was much easier to fall and die that way than it was to be burned. Let's see. So if he could see the outlines of people through the flames, the screams from the condemned souls were deafening and relentless. There was no safe place, no safe moment, no temporary relief of any kind. Okay, I'm not going to read anymore. It goes on to talk more about the pit of fire and how he gets dropped into a pit and he can't, there's no way to climb out of it, and there's all sorts of creatures on the wall that are pushing him back down. But finally, you know, God brings him back, and he says when he finally comes back into God's presence, he's never felt so much love and thankfulness because of the mercy that's shown for him, because he has actually been shown what separation from God is. It says, if you are like most people, you probably opened this book out of pure curiosity, which I did. Somewhere in the back of your mind, you may be thinking, did this man really go to hell? Hell as in fire, burning, and torment? Or maybe you think I'm making the whole thing up, because no one could go to hell and live to tell about it. You might not even believe there is a hell. If you do believe in a literal hell, you probably think the only reason God would send someone to hell was if that person was evil and deserved it. Well, in my case, it's none of the above. Yes, I was taken to a literal burning hell, and no, it had nothing to do with being good or bad. The reason I was shown this place was to bring back a message of warning. My story is not one to condemn, but rather to inform you that hell is a real place. It does exist, and God's desire is that no one go there. But the sad and simple fact is that people make the choice to go to hell every day. One of the youth commented recently that they hope to get married and have children before the end of time, which is logical thinking for a human being. We tend to think in the here and the now and not in the eternal. We should not be fearful of death or of hell if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In heaven, the things of this earth are not important. You will be in the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator, married to Him, spending eternity with Him. This is what our minds and hearts should be focused on. So do you think you're saved from eternal damnation? Do you really believe that you're saved? Do you come to church, make the motions, speak the creeds, pray the prayers, but really you haven't emotionally committed yourself to Christ? There's still that little thing in the back of your head that goes, there's got to be more to it than this. It can't be this easy. Is your faith a habit? Have you been raised in that faith? That's what you've always known. So you just go to church because that's what you've always done. You go to church. Does your faith mean something to you? Are you practicing that faith? Do you believe that your prayers will be answered? Or are you just throwing things out there to God just in case? I beg of you, search your hearts now, tonight. If you have not accepted Christ, truly accepted Christ, as your Lord and Savior, don't wait any longer. Do it tonight. We're not guaranteed the next minute. We're not guaranteed we're going to wake up in the morning. Do it tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in any of those out there who don't know Christ, that He would move you to come to the altar to make your commitment of faith. You nor I will ever be good enough to get to heaven on our own. It's only by the mercy and the grace of God that through Jesus Christ, His Son, we can be reconciled back to Him. I had a conversation this week Don't y'all dare tell you I used Jordan as an example again, but I had a conversation with Jordan this week. He is studying world religion in college. One of his classes is world religion, which made me a little nervous when he told me that, because I just didn't think he was strong enough in his faith not to question. So Monday night we had a three-hour theological discussion on if Christianity is real, if Christ is real, if Judaism is the right way, that kind of thing. And all I kept getting from him and from Jeff is, but how do you know? How do you know you're right? I can't explain it. But I know with everything in me. I know with my heart, my soul, everything I am, I know that it's the truth. And I won't, even for my family, I will not back off from that. That's the kind of faith I want you guys to have. When the world tells you, are you sure? Do you really know this is the truth? I want you to know with everything in you, yes, it's the truth. And you stand firm on it. That's the type of Christian that can reach other people who don't know Christ. It's not the ones that wiggle back and forth and go, well, because the Bible says it, you know, or try to have an answer for everything. There is no answer for faith. There's just no answer for it. You just know what you know that you know. And that's the only way I can explain it. So I'm asking you tonight, especially the youth, really search your hearts as we shut our eyes and we pray. Search your hearts. Do you really know Christ? Have you really accepted Christ? Are you going to take the chance of spending eternity in hell? Are you going to take that chance? Some people say, oh, I don't like to go up in front of people and do that kind of stuff. If you can't confess your faith in front of this group of people here, you can't go out in the world and do it. It's not going to happen. If you can't stand up in this room and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Christ, He's my Lord and Savior, you are not going to do it when you walk out those doors. So just bow your heads, shut your eyes, let's have silent prayer, and really, really, really search your hearts. If you feel like at this time that you don't know Christ and you want to accept Him, come up front, pray to God. All you have to do, all you have to say is, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I know that you were born, died, and rose again, and that you will forgive me of my sins. That's all you have to do. It's not hard. So shut your eyes and bow your head. him. Brandon wanted to pray a special, wanted us to pray a special prayer over him and us tonight. So all of you who would like to, can we go back and lay our hands on her and let Brandon say a prayer? Him and us in the back, if you want to go back and put your hands on her and pray over her for this pregnancy.
Okay. I don't mean to change, like, I just sit back there and you say that. Somebody in here tonight has got somebody in here tonight has got on a food. I don't know. But just if I can ask her to come up here, and I'm going to tell you, if there's anybody, but if there's somebody in here, then I'll move it. Tonight. You know God speaks in your heart. Don't wait. Do not wait. Don't. Be bold. Stand. Come forward. There are moments to hear that prayer. There is nothing that you have done that works just something on your prayer that you have. So tonight, God speaks in your heart. Be bold. Stand. Come up front and say yes to God.
I don't know where, I don't know what they're going through tonight, God. There is someone in this room who knows deep down in their heart that they need God in their life. They may say, well, yeah, I have this problem. Yeah, it kind of bugs me. But I'm okay because I can handle it. I say, no, you can't, because you need Christ in your life. Like Miss Pam's sermon, the demons show no mercy. None. Period. As followers of Christ, we need to stand and show no mercy to the side of darkness, to proclaim His name, to preach the gospel. So, Father, tonight, whatever it may be, whatever stumbling block is in the way of young or old in this room, God, I rebuke in Your name. Father, Your word promises that the disciples go out and preach the gospel, that they cast out demons, that they lay hands and heal. God, I believe these words. Father, may it be a physical or a spiritual healing tonight. God, I ask for a miracle. I ask for a miracle. I ask that somebody steps out, be bold, and stands in Your name. That bows to the will of God. Father, once again, we come to You and ask that You bless this woman and bless this child. Father, I pray for a blessing on this church and everyone in this room, that when we leave here tonight, that Your life will change the world.
Okay, let's stand if you can, or if you will, one more song. I want to praise You, Lord, and let's really sing it out and praise God.
All right, children of God, aren't we happy that hell is not for us? We're not destined to go to hell because God saved us and sent His Jesus. It's not for us, and we're not going to experience that if we have Jesus in our hearts. Let's rise in the sun. Let's step out of our boxes and be a little bit more emotional, praising God. The words are, I want to see, I want to lift my arms to You. Let's raise our arms. Can you do that? Lift up your arms. You will feel a little bit awkward in the beginning, but you will feel happy by the end of the song.
As we sing, if there's anyone that needs to come up and make the profession of faith, someone will be here to meet you.
I want to praise You, my children of You. I want to praise You, my children of You. Learn to speak Your faith, and the knowledge of Your grace, I want to my children of You, I want to know close our eyes and close in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for your truth that you bring to us. And Lord, we have a lot to fear in this life and apparently in the next life. But we know, Lord, that evil is not really a thing. You know, Lord, that evil is just the absence of good. It's like cold is the absence of heat, and darkness is the absence of light. Lord Jesus, we praise you that evil is not something to have, to hold, to grasp, and to keep. It is simply what's left, Lord, when we don't have you in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that no one in this room will be without you. And I pray, Lord, that you know who those people are. Of course you do. If not now, not tonight, that sometime before it's too late, Lord, I pray that you will touch that person and fill that void, the void that is evil, the absence of you. I thank you for saving someone like me who's not worthy, even in the least, of your love. Thank you so much. Thank you for this night where we can come together and praise you and thank you in some small way for dying for us, for beating death. We pray all this in your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
Guys, one announcement before you leave. Please, please, on Sunday, fill out the forms of how many is going to be attending for dinner. I've been planning for around 70, but I'm only getting 12 people who are saying they're going to be here. So even if you're here every week and you know you're going to be here every week, still fill out that thing so I can get a great head count so we don't run out of food or don't make too much food. Mostly that we don't run out of food. That's my biggest fear is running out of food. So if you would do that for me, I'd appreciate it. Hey, Jonna, there's already a form out there on the thing that nobody has done anything with, so it's already made up.
Okay,
Go in peace. See you Sunday.